Welcome to Functional Health Radio on this station and also streaming on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed. I'm here with my co-host Jill Kahn, and Jill is a marriage and family therapist practicing in Sandpoint. And every month we come together and talk about topics on mental health, relationships, fitness. And this week, or today, we're going to be talking about adult bullying, which Jill already experienced on her way in, and then also responses to suicidal people, and that's a big topic, and then types of empathy, and then I'm going to talk about the benefits of magnesium. It's something that I always just think was related to sports-related, you know, cramping, but it really, when you're deficient, it affects a lot of our health, so we'll talk about that later in the show. But Jill, how are you?
Wow. There was someone ahead of me who was driving really slowly. Oh. It was interesting. So I'm glad I'm here.
Yes.
We had such a fun time in the South.
You were in the sunshine.
I was in the sunshine.
Yeah.
It was so nice to have flip-flops on and bathing suits and tank tops. And oh my gosh, it felt so good. And I'd never been, neither of us had been to the South.
Yeah.
So this was really an experience, and it's such a different culture.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I've only been once, and I really want to go back.
Yeah.
You know, I want to take our van and really drive the area and see it. But it's so different than the Pacific Northwest.
It is very different. And we were really lucky because we got to spend a couple of days in Gulfport at the beach.
Yeah.
And just sort of soaking in. The seafood was amazing, and a beautiful aquarium, and just really enjoyed being outside,
yeah,
eating outside. And then I had a marriage and family therapy conference in New Orleans. So we went to New Orleans and stayed in the French Quarter and soaked all of that intensity in.
Yeah. How was that? Because I've never been there.
You know, it is really a different experience. It's kind of like Las Vegas for the 20 and 30-year-olds.
Okay.
A lot of drinking on the streets. And
plus, you were kind of close to spring break, right?
Well, we were. It was spring break. There was a group of girls who said, NOLA, spring break, doing a selfie.
Yeah.
And we were sandwiched in between Mardi Gras, which was the week previous, and they had the St. Patty's Day parade the day we left.
Yeah. Wow.
So there was a lot of activity, and it's an experience.
Sure.
And Jill Biden had dinner across the street from the restaurant
were
at.
Wow.
There were all
security,
these cars
everywhere.
And security. But the food was amazing.
Yeah.
And then the art. So we went to the immersive Van Gogh exhibit.
Okay.
And we just were blown away by it. It was so great. And then another local New Orleans museum that was music and art, and it was just super fun.
Yeah.
I felt very filled up and enriched. And the music! Oh my gosh!
I bet.
Everywhere, starting at 7 or 8 p.m. in the morning, and it's just, there's blues, there's rock and roll, there's Zydeco, I mean, jazz, everything.
Everything. Fun.
Very fun.
That's awesome.
And my daughter's here with her husband.
Good.
So
nice.
We got Cammy and Nick for the week, so that's really fun.
And all the dogs.
All four dogs. The pack.
Yeah.
How about you? What's happening?
Well, you know, I'm glad the sun is here.
Oh, me too.
It's been rough with the gray days, let me tell you, because we haven't been able to leave. We have the puppy, so we are grounded, which I love, but it's been hard. So I kind of got into a decluttering and reorganizing mode, and I reorganized the gym, threw out tons of equipment that we don't use. I did it at my house, went through all the clothes, and I'm like, I'm not wearing this. You know, it's just
good for
sitting
you.
There. So that felt good. And then other than that, just keeping a routine with my workouts and my schedule. Because I did like a program, an endurance program that I had to check in, you know, 3 days a week. So that kind of keeps the days going
till
we get to spring.
Yes, that helps. We've been doing some decluttering too for, you know, what else are you going to do, you know?
So, and then today is the first day I am going to conquer, hopefully, Medicare for Jeff because we have to sign him up. And so we're meeting with our insurance agent to try to understand what this is all about.
Yes, yes. Well, we've been navigating the system, and actually, I'm pleasantly surprised.
Okay, good.
It has been better and more seamless than I would have anticipated.
Okay.
So
I love hearing that, because all I'm hearing is, oh my gosh, it's just a nightmare. And so I'm hoping it won't be.
Well, compared to the shenanigans with the insurance that I have to do as a provider.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I can only,
And I have to say, through both of our cancer experiences, you know, we've had to pay very little out of pocket.
Yeah.
Thank heaven.
Yes.
We were on Medicare because otherwise it could have been really devastating.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll be starting our discussion on adult bullying. This is Functional Health Radio.
It's time to get to the co-op and find all things seeds and greenhouse prep. We have an excellent selection of fruit, vegetable, flower, and herb seeds already in stock. And just in time, we have the black gold seed starting mix in the 16-quart and 1.5 cubic foot size. Patty has brought in the Sunkit mini greenhouses, which include heat mat and grow light, an excellent option for starting plants early. We also now carry down-to-earth products. This OMRI-certified line of soil amendments now comes in 20 and 25-pound bags and 15-pound boxes, depending on contents. And we have food-grade Harris brand diatomaceous earth in the 2, 4, and 10.5-pound bags. So when you think about getting ready to garden, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderé, where neighbors have been helping neighbors since 1934, 208-263-6820.
Hi, this is Brian Ivey, service manager at Pierce Auto Center in beautiful Sagal, Idaho. Spring's almost here. It's time to inspect your vehicle after harsh winter driving. This month, Mopar is offering a buy three, get one for a dollar tire promotion through April 30th. Call our parts department for a quote. We'll be performing front-end alignment starting at $59.95 with the purchase of a set of tires. Our certified techs work on all makes and models, including Subaru and Toyota. Pierce Auto Center.
The sights and sounds of downtown Sandpoint create a shopping and dining experience like no other. Sandpoint's finest specialty store for women. Stop in today and check out the spring fashions arriving daily. Chosen collections from top fashion designer Yves Leaves opens 7 days a week in historic Sandpoint. Sharon's Hallmark is getting ready for spring with new merchandise arriving daily from apparel, jewelry, and home decor. Plus, a great selection of candles featuring spring fragrances. Think spring? Think Sharon's Hallmark.
Start the new year off right by visiting Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderé. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Wendy's 2 for $6 lets you mix and match some of our best items, like Dave's Single with a 10-piece crispy nugs, medium strawberry lemonade with a spicy chicken sandwich, spicy chicken with a Dave's Single, Dave's Single with a strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, if you're into that. Chicken Sam, crispy nugs, strawberry lemonade, Dave's, nugs, nugs, Sam, Sam. Whew. Pick what you want at a price you want. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's 2 for 6.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. On the card only. Single item at regular price.
See our schedule. Check our helpful links or stream us anywhere. All at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back to Functional Health Radio on this station and also streaming on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed, and I'm here with Jill Kahn. Jill is a marriage and family therapist in Sandpoint. And you wanted to talk about something else?
Yes. At the AAMFT, Marriage and Family Therapy Conference, I went to a presenter, and her field of study has been the mother-daughter relationship, which is unique.
Yes.
So she has a whole program that is designed with having not just couples in therapy, but mothers and daughters in therapy.
Interesting.
So I'm really excited about that.
We need to talk about that.
Well, I'm going to do some research and maybe do the training, and I'm hoping that in the next show or two, I'll be able to give you more information because it's such an important topic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that was exciting.
Like
something.
That.
Yeah.
Nice.
So let's move into bullying.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think in our culture, we typically think about bullying happening to kids. But there has been a new look at the kind of a bullying that happens in our adult life, which is quite significant. So it shows up in various places, but in a national survey, The Workplace Bullying Institute found that 19% of adults said they'd personally been bullied by a higher up or a colleague, while another 19% said they'd seen it happen to someone else.
Wow.
So like that's 40% of having some awareness and knowledge of it. So it's not just in the workplace though, right? So it happens, I mean, in my experience, like when you're driving, there's adult bullying that happens when you're driving, right? Yeah. There's also maybe a neighbor who can be aggressive in some way. There might be a friend who feels like a friend but ends up doing these sort of subtle things. It can be a romantic partner who uses humiliation to get their way. And the one that I hear a lot about is the ex-spouse who really bullies around issues with the kids. Mm-hmm. So it's prevalent in a variety of different places. So all forms of bullying essentially harm the victim's sense of self, of safety, and security. And it leads to feelings of powerlessness, helplessness, and loss of control. Mm-hmm. So much like sexual abuse, adult bullying is really an act of control.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. And it's usually over someone whom the bully believes is not as strong as they are. However, it can also be bullying with someone who the bully is threatened by and deals with it that way. So it's funny because we think of bullies in a certain way, but it's such a power dynamic, and it really does emanate from low self-esteem, jealousy, and envy.
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. So it's this power dynamic that is very interesting to explore. So the APA, the American Psychological Association, defines bullying as a form of aggressive behavior in which someone intentionally and repeatedly causes another person injury or discomfort. And it can take the form of physical contact, words, or even more subtle actions, right? Like when you're driving and someone either speeds up on your backside and is like right in your tail or slows down in front
it's
of you.
It's kind of something I experience daily on the road in North Idaho.
It does seem to be happening more frequently here. So here are some things to look for if you wonder if you're being bullied. So this was an interesting piece I hadn't really thought of before. Apparently, bullies want to do it more publicly. Mm. So it might be that somebody's doing something on social media that's targeting you. It can be mocking your ideas in a meeting, in a business meeting. But adult bullies really get a sense of power out of ridiculing their target in public settings.
So I wonder why. So because they don't think that target's going to respond?
Well, that's an interesting question, Jen, and I don't know that we've got enough data about it.
Yeah.
But they seek attention and displaying their bullying tactics in the presence of others.
They are.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it might be on a group call, in person with others, in a reply all email, which I've experienced, right? Yeah, you make little, somebody writes an email with a little snide remark or, you know, something snarky.
Sure.
Or through social media, right? You can make some sort of snide.
You see that a lot.
Oh, you see it a lot, especially on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. The person bullying feels more empowered when there is an audience.
Okay.
So that's what they're saying. And public ridicule is all about making their targets feel isolated and ostracized. And smaller, I think.
Yeah.
It's really about being demeaning and dismissive. Mm-hmm. And they can use isolation as a weapon and gaslighting to lead to self-doubt, second-guessing, anxiety, and insecurity in the person they're trying to control. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
So gaslighting is when somebody says something that's contrary to what your experience is. So it makes you feel kind of crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So at the same time, the bully will often conduct themselves appropriately with others. Right.
Oh.
So that the target will doubt whether they're dealing with a bully or not. So somebody who is, for example, bullying you might be really snarky and mean and horrible to you privately or in some sort of setting. Media, but then behave really appropriately when other people.
I'm wondering if they were also child bullies.
Well, we're talking. Okay, that's the next piece we talked to because they were bullied themselves usually.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Bullies love to gossip. I'd say this is really a female part of it, right?
Yeah.
Females bully through gossiping, yeah. right? And it goes back to adolescence, mean girls mm-hmm. who really kind of like – and sometimes it's so nonverbal with teenagers, right? It's kind of like rolling the eyes or making an expression that dismisses someone to their friends. But the same thing happens sometimes with adults, right?
Yeah.
So it can be gossiping in the break room or sharing information about the person that they shouldn't, disclosing yeah. information, or posting some sort of social media without mentioning that person's name but making it clear who yeah. they're referring to.
Wow.
And here's the thing that is really insidious about technology right now, and we all know this. It permits people to cause pain without seeing its impact on others
right.
and or without consequences. That's the part that I just hate.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And it's similar with texting, right? With couples, it's like technology takes away that human experience and people will say such horrible things that they would not say face to face. So technology is really a forum for a lot of bullying. And then power can be derived from both the message being public and the user being anonymous. So here's the other piece. Passive-aggressive bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah? So it's not overt. It's a lot more subtle. And it's less identifiable. Because mostly when we're talking about anti-bullying, from anger management to different policies, they deal with more overt bullying,
right?
That you can really identify. But it's much more subtle, the passive-aggressive that's using sarcasm.
Yeah.
Right? So we talk about this in the Gottman method as, it'll come to me.
Oh yeah. Well,
I'm sorry.
But yeah, but the sarcasm, I mean, I can just see it, you know, and then do the person who makes this little snarky remark kind of, oh, but I was just kidding.
Just joking.
Yes.
That's exactly what they do. Right.
So
it's,
no, you weren't.
It's not cruel. It's, we're just being funny.
Yeah.
It's just humor.
But the words still were spoken.
Oh yeah. And they'll use sarcasm, yeah. eye rolling, shaming,
yeah.
blaming, mimicking, or mocking to kind of flip the script. And here's the one that just bugs the crap out of me. Then what they do is they accuse the victim of not being able to take a joke.
Oh, yeah.
You know, lighten up.
Right.
Which I find is horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Then,
yeah.
Now, are we going to talk about how to respond to bullies?
Yes. Okay, how to get a handle on bullies.
Because I just want to punch them in the face.
And the word is yeah. contempt.
That's right.
Okay. So yeah. that's the third horseman of the apocalypse
yeah.
with Gottman
yeah.
is contempt. And those are the things. It's sarcasm. It's mimicking. It's that kind of
that's
just
so wrong.
Yeah. yeah. It's pretty horrible. And a lot of people get away with that, being snarky by saying, can't you take a joke?
Yeah.
So it's still not okay. So how do you deal with adult bullies? So the first thing that's suggested is look for bystanders and witnesses, right?
Yeah.
So you may notice that you're not the only one who's getting bullied at work. Or there may be that there are other people in your workplace environment, friends, who notice, okay, this person makes a habit of condescending remarks.
Right.
So that's when you need to do is really identify who might be on your team.
Yeah, for support.
And also for the rest of us to be aware that those who witness bullying are a part of that system.
When you don't say.
And you don't say anything about it and you
right.
let it go.
Yeah.
Sort of like, this is, I think, analogous to at a party when a boy is inappropriately taking advantage of a girl who might uh-huh. be drinking and the innocent bystanders don't do anything.
Right.
Right. And I said to my boys,
yeah.
if you ever see a boy trying to take advantage of a girl, it's your job, your obligation to step in there.
Yeah.
Right. So when we see injustice in the world, it's about having a voice and,
right.
and not letting it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember those stories when people would do acts of violence on the streets of New York City and people would walk by and do nothing.
Yeah.
So this is a community problem. We all need to be aware of it and work collaboratively to not tolerate
right.
that sort of behavior. So it's difficult to know how to speak up, even if it's happening in your personal life, right? So what do you do? And you might want to speak up, but you worry that if you do, you're going to be the target of the bullying next, sure. Which is a risk, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing you want to do is assess for safety in moments of confrontation. Are there other people around to witness it? Mm-hmm. Can you safely support the victim to remove themselves from the situation, right? Especially in an abusive relationship, right? Or perhaps you might set a boundary with a bully and encourage the bully to leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in these moments, finding words to support someone who can't stand up for themselves can be a really powerful form of solidarity.
Yeah.
So we need that solidarity. Yeah. And then another thing is to remember that the bullying isn't about you. It's about the bully's need to dominate and feel empowered.
Because they're insecure.
Well,
so because, to make them feel powerful, they're going to pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So they either pick someone who's weak, where mm-hmm. they can dominate it, or they will sometimes target someone who threatens them due to the other person's strength, confidence, or abilities, which you might have seen before, right?
Yeah.
So ultimately, bullies want to make someone feel as small and insignificant as someone early in their life made them feel,
mm-hmm.
because most bullies were once bullied themselves.
Interesting.
So it's a chain reaction.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we can really start paying attention to bullying and eradicating it when kids are younger, mm-hmm. it's less likely to continue through the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the tips about it. And I'd like to finish this segment by giving a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, who says, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent."
That's great.
Right? So it's a good one.
That's good. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about responses to suicidal people, a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is Functional Health Radio.
This week, celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a pot of savings at your neighborhood grocery outlet. Stop by for Blarney Stone corned beef brisket, just $3.99 a pound. That's a savings of up to $2 a pound versus traditional grocery stores. And that's not all. Save an extra $2 off per package with a coupon at the register. You don't need luck to save a bunch of green at Grocery Outlet. But grab them fast, only while supplies last. Offer good through March 21st.
Grocery Outlet, Bargain Market.
P1FCU's Ascend Checking is a simple free checking account that gives you the flexibility to earn dividends. Plus, get anytime account access with online and mobile banking, mobile deposit, and no minimum balance requirements. So, level up your finances with an Ascend Checking account. Learn more at p1fcu.org/ascend. P1FCU, your community, your credit union. Insured by NCUA.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Pet River Store is hiring for motivated line cooks, prep cooks, dishwashers, and servers for the summer season. They offer competitive pay plus tips for all positions, easy scheduling, and matching 401k. To apply, stop by and fill out an application.
People who come to Cricut stay with Cricut, just like our customer, Christine.
I'm a director and a performer. I got a free phone from Cricut, and I've used it to live stream 73 of my shows on social media.
How do you like it?
It's fabulous!
Switch to Cricut and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. Smile! You're on Cricut.
Real customer paid for testimonial limited time. Must bring your number to Cricut on a $60 a month first month service charge and tax due at sale. Phone streams, video, and SD. Cricut 5G is not available everywhere. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricutWireless.com for details.
Wendy's 2 for $6 lets you mix and match some of our best items, like Dave's Single with a 10-piece crispy nugs, medium strawberry lemonade with a spicy chicken sandwich, spicy chicken with a Dave's Single, Dave's Single with a strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, if you're into that. Chicken Sam, crispy nugs, strawberry lemonade, Dave's, nugs, Sam. Whew! Pick what you want at a price you want. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's 2 for $6.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. On the card only. Single item at regular price.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio, and I'm Jen Barton. I'm a fitness trainer and a gym owner in Sandpoint. I own The Shed over on Michigan Street, and I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, who practices in Sandpoint. And we just finished talking about adult bullying, which now I'm like, oh my gosh, it's happening here, it's happening there, so I'm starting to, I'm going to have to get involved. And then, and now we're moving on to responses to suicidal people and how to handle those situations.
Well, part of, I think, our intention with this show is to widen our lens just for the very reason that you said, right? That when you label something, you start to identify mm-hmm. it and you can work with it more easily. So similarly with suicide, so it's becoming more and more prevalent. The numbers are mm-hmm. increasing dramatically for suicide across the board. And my life was really touched by it at the beginning of the year when my oldest friend and cherished friend mm-hmm. committed suicide. Incredibly painful. And a couple of years ago, my niece committed suicide. Almost all of us can identify someone.
Oh, yeah. I lost a cousin.
Yeah. So someone we know has committed suicide. And unfortunately, probably a lot more people have had suicidal ideation, have mm-hmm. thought about committing suicide. And there are risks. So we're going to talk about how you can support someone who's really depressed and make an assessment for their risk and how you can respond. Because we really need to pay attention to this. We need to pay attention to people's pain, whether it's bullying or suicide, and bullying can lead to people having suicidal ideation
for
as well.
Sure, because I do believe that kind of happened
there's
over
a
social media with a kid in the high school.
Absolutely.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge deal.
It is a huge deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, really paying attention that we can't allow things to just go unnoticed and unresponded to.
Yeah.
So the first thing we want to do is recognize the warning signs of depression. So obviously some people have a history of depression that we know about,
right,
or bipolar disorder, right? Those are indicators. But the things that I always ask about in my practice are you eating more or less?
Oh.
Are you sleeping more or less?
Mm-hmm.
What is your energy level? Because lethargy is definitely a symptom. Are you feeling blue or depressed? And then another one is isolation.
Yeah.
So people isolate when they're depressed. So paying attention to if you see someone withdrawing more or they don't seem to be able to show up at the gym, when people stop doing things that they would normally do, that's a warning sign.
Okay.
Yeah. So second thing, take suicidal statements very seriously. So 50 to 70% of all suicides give some warning of their intentions, either to a friend or a family member.
That's interesting to me because I always thought, well, that means they just want help and they're probably not going to do anything wrong.
And that is
so
not
wrong.
True. That is not true.
So wrong.
And unfortunately, in my friend's case, none of us could identify.
Yeah.
I've spoken with a number of other people. There weren't any warning signs.
Yeah.
Which makes it, I mean, there was a history of depression,
sure,
right? So we knew that was there, but there was nothing immediately mm-hmm. recognizable as leading to it. So you have both configurations, but his history of depression and suicidal ideation should have been tracked more carefully.
Yeah.
So we have to do that. The majority of people who attempt suicide literally do something to let other people know what their intentions are.
Oh.
So it can be, you know, giving things away. It could be saying goodbye in oblique ways. Mm-hmm. It can be in a variety of subtle ways where they're letting you know they're getting ready to check out.
Wow.
So third, listen empathetically to what the person in crisis has to say. So don't minimize it with toxic positivity, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to say, oh, gee, you've got so much to live for,
right.
Or, you know, oh, this will just pass. You can do a lot of those things that are perhaps well-intended, but they do not help.
Do they make it a little bit worse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of like when you were going through your treatments and people were like, oh, you're going to be great. And, you know, all those we talked about.
Right.
That, you know,
toxic positivity.
Let's not get, yeah.
That's not helpful.
Let's just be real.
Let's
yeah.
honor what you're yeah, feeling,
exactly.
right? This is hard. This mm-hmm. is painful. I need you to have empathy yeah. for the fact that I'm not feeling good right now.
Exactly.
That's what we need.
Okay.
So don't try to argue someone out of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, you want to help them seek guidance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not ready to do that, just talk openly with them.
Yeah.
Tell me what you're feeling and having empathy. That must be really hard. So staying with them where they're at. Let the person know that you care,
mm-hmm.
right? I really care about you and that they're not alone. Now, what you can say is that suicidal feelings generally are temporary and the depression can be treated.
Yeah.
So what I say to people sometimes is, my understanding is that you just want the pain to stop.
Mm.
You don't really want to be 6 feet under.
Yeah.
That's not really what it is. It's just that the pain, it feels intolerable. And I do say 6 months from now, you may feel very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So letting them know that there is hope, but not dismissing their experience of how real the pain is.
Yeah. And so it, you know, as a therapist, I could see that people would listen to you, but if it's someone, if like I were to have that conversation with someone, would the next step be, and we're going to get you to a Jill.
Yes.
Okay.
We're getting you to someone. So that's the next thing.
Okay.
Encourage the person to seek professional help, right? So be actively involved in
yeah.
encouraging the person to see a physician or mental health person immediately. Right, you can always send people to the ER. Now, that's not always a great option.
Because it's real intense.
And also you don't know who is there on duty. And there are good responders and
yeah.
not so good responders.
Yeah.
So if you can get them to someone that you trust, who's
mm-hmm.
either a physician or a mental health person, that's your best option. Individuals contemplating suicide often don't believe that they can be helped.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have to find a knowledgeable mental health professional or a treatment facility and take them there.
Yeah, I feel like you need to, once that person has opened up to you and told you the intention, you kind of need to be with that person till that exchange is done.
Yes. And so
yeah.
we're going to talk a little bit
okay.
more about that, the assessment and then
okay.
how to proceed. But I think what a lot of people do is they're afraid to mention it. Almost like if I ask you if you're suicidal, I'm putting ideas in your head. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Any person who's at that stage, they've thought about it. You're not.
Yeah.
And it's counterproductive not to ask. So you do need to ask directly. So say, do you feel so badly that you're thinking about suicide?
Mm-hmm.
Open up the dialogue. And really, I would say many people think about suicide in some time in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can acknowledge that, you know, you're not alone. Many of us have had
yeah.
suicidal feelings. But by listening, we demonstrate our willingness to talk about anything with a person in crisis, including feelings of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make it allowable for them to feel like they can admit it
yeah.
and not feel shame.
Sure.
Because I think oftentimes people are ashamed about that,
yeah.
that somehow or other I'm less than because I have these feelings. So if you can make it okay to talk about, they're likely to feel understood, and that you can empathize with the pain that they're in. It can be a great relief to the person if suicidal feelings can be brought out into the open and discussed freely without shock or disapproval. It shows that you're taking the person seriously.
Right.
Yeah. So if the answer is yes to, are you thinking about suicide, take the person's response seriously and ask these suicide risk questions. So number one, do you have a plan to take your own life, or have you thought about how you're going to do it? That's question number one. Number two, do you have the means to act it out? Mm-hmm. Right? So a gun, pills, whatever it is. And three, have you set a time, or have you decided when you would do it? So if, how, and when are important to ask. If the person has a definite plan, if the means are available and the time is set, you should consider the person to be a very high risk for suicide.
Okay.
And in that case, you never leave a person who you feel is high risk alone, even for a moment.
Yeah.
So whenever I do an assessment like this and the person even answers two of those three questions, I will say, you cannot be alone.
Right.
And we make a plan. We make a suicide contract
that
they have to talk to me, not just call me and leave a message. They have to have a conversation with me before they do anything self-destructive. And or they have to be with someone 24/7 who can make sure that they're not there.
Safe. Yeah.
And then the third thing is you have to get rid of any of the means possible, right? Those have to go away. And sometimes if I feel like somebody can't guarantee me those things, then I say I have to get you to a facility.
Yeah.
I have to put you someplace where I can ensure that you are safe.
Are there facilities in our area?
Or is Kootenai, it Coeur d'Alene? In Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah.
And people, of course, resist that terribly.
Well,
they don't want that to happen. I said, well, here's the thing. Then you have to sign the suicide contract and you have to have somebody who can be with you.
All the time.
So don't leave them alone. You have to remove any of the sharp objects, anything like that. And so if the person has taken some form of life-threatening action, mm-hmm. even recently, you absolutely have to get help.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes you may feel like, I can't really do this on my own. I need some help. Yeah. Get help. Get support.
Yeah.
So here are some additional suggestions. Be direct. Talk openly and matter-of-factly about suicide. Be non-judgmental. Don't debate whether suicide is right or wrong, or feelings are good or bad. Do not lecture on the value of life.
Okay.
Not helpful.
No.
Be available.
Yeah.
Show interest and support. Don't ask why. This might encourage defensiveness. Offer empathy. I get where you're coming from. Not sympathy. Oh, poor thing.
Right.
Never promise to keep suicide a secret. Offer alternatives that are available. And don't be afraid of being wrong. It's difficult for even experts to understand who is a serious risk of suicide and who is not. Err on the side of safety.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, thanks, Jill. And again, call your doctor, call a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hesitate.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about magnesium.
Start the new year off right by visiting Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
I thought learning a language would be too much work, but Babbel makes learning fun. J'aime Babbel.
Babbel's lessons only take 10 or 15 minutes, and soon you turn and realize, hey, I'm starting to speak another language. How'd that happen?
Babbel isn't robots talking. You learn words and phrases from real native speakers. I was ready for real-life conversations in just a few weeks. So easy.
Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
I'll second-guess dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools.
It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No, it's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code HEAT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code HEAT. You can cash out anytime. Right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HEAT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HEAT.
97.1 FM, 1450 KBFI, and 1400 KSPT.
Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barton. I own the gym called The Shed here in Sandpoint, and I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, and she practices in Sandpoint. And we've been talking some heavy topics, really, today, but now we're going to go over to the world of nutrients, and I wanted to talk about magnesium real quick, because I used to think it was just something we would take after a long run and I was sore, or if someone in the gym was saying, oh, I'm cramping a lot, well, maybe you need some magnesium. But recently I've had some people in my family who have run into health issues, and the common denominator is magnesium, like a deficiency.
Yes.
And it was like, whoa, well, I think people, like you mentioned, we just need to put it out there and then let people explore it.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm talking about something that if you need to get supplement, please see your physician first, because whenever you take a supplement, you want to make sure if you're taking other medications, it's not going to mess things up or cause a bad reaction. So first thing I will say, please talk to your doctor. But magnesium, I didn't realize this, is the fourth most abundant mineral in your body.
Wow.
And you can't work properly without it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
And I can just say to you, my mother-in-law, she's got stuff going on, and her body is dumping magnesium so quickly that it actually results in slurring and dizziness and lack of balance. And
wow.
So it's really an important mineral for us. We can get magnesium naturally in legumes, nuts, seeds, green leafy vegetables. Smaller amounts are in meat and fish. But studies are showing that almost 50% of people in Europe and the United States don't get enough of this mineral.
Wow.
That's a huge number.
Huge number.
And it kind of reminds me about vitamin D. You know,
yeah.
We're all deficient in vitamin D. So anyway, consider that. They're finding that low levels of magnesium are linked to a number of health conditions such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and Alzheimer's. So it's also – they're finding out that – if you have the right amount of magnesium, it might help reduce your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to the heart stuff. You can also improve your sleep if you have enough magnesium. And so this is a huge one, especially with the time change.
Yes.
And as we get older, I don't know why, but it's harder to have good sleep, at least in my world. So people with low magnesium levels are more likely to experience sleep problems such as difficulties falling or staying asleep, and magnesium supplements have been shown to improve it. A review of three studies among older adults found that supplementing with 320 to 720 milligrams of magnesium daily for 8 weeks decreased the time it took for them to fall asleep and increased total sleep time compared to the people with the placebo.
Wow.
Yeah. Just going to go through this quickly. Also, this was a big one because of depression and anxiety that I know a lot of people deal with. Magnesium can help improve your mood. So, and you probably knew this one already, Jill. But I did not. I didn't realize the anxiety portion of it. And so that's something to ask your doctor about and get tested for. The other would be magnesium now can help with migraines.
Wow.
And so, you know, my daughters have migraines, and I asked one of them today, are you taking magnesium? Because they are finding that it has a huge impact on that. And if you should be taking it daily, and then also some doctors are treating the migraine with magnesium.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So another reason to see your doctor. It also reduces heart disease risk. And the way you can find out if you're low in magnesium is to do a blood test.
Yeah.
And so you can either go – I would go to my doctor and have it done. If you don't like needles, I guess you can do a urine test also.
Wow.
So magnesium, people.
Magnesium, yes.
All right, Jill, let's finish this with empathy.
All right, so three –
4 minutes.
Yeah, three types of empathy, right? They're cognitive, emotional, and compassionate empathy, and manifests in different ways. And empathy is so important because you're letting the other person know that you get what they're feeling, right? That you can put yourself in their shoes. So important for both the earlier topics, both bullying and suicidal feelings, is that we need empathy in responding to this. So cognitive empathy is the type of empathy where you put yourself in the other person's shoes, but it's really about thought, understanding, and intellect. So you can empathize with another person by being able to understand what they're feeling through shared experiences. So for example, your roommate comes home and her boyfriend just broke up with her, and you let her know that you've been there and you can understand what she's going through. So the downside of this is that cognitive empathy is intellectual, but not feeling. It can feel it detached. So emotional empathy is when you actually can feel, oftentimes physically, another person's emotions along with them. So say, for example, when you're at a wedding and you're crying, right, that you're having empathy for other people. Or, for example, when you see someone fall off a bike and your body just responds. Yeah. So it allows you to build closer connection with other people when there's that level of emotional empathy. But one of the problems, and this is for those of us who are highly sensitive people, is that you might end up with emotion overload, right?
Yes.
You can get overwhelmed, and you really have to practice self-regulation so that you don't take on too much. I know that. Yeah. So the third one is compassionate empathy. So it's all about finding the right balance between logic and emotion. So it deals with intellect, emotion, and action. And it's feeling someone else's pain, but taking action as well. Mm-hmm. So say, for example, if you see someone in need, like on the street or somewhere, you go over and you intervene and help them.
Uh-huh.
It's offering assistance and giving some support. So the downside of this is that it means that you have to be willing not only to understand other people, but to respond with action. Yeah. So when you directly ask that person what you can do to help them, that's practicing compassionate empathy. How some people don't want to accept that, and so you might just have to be curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the different kinds of
That's great. And that takes time to practice, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's like increasing the lens so that we have a better understanding.
Yeah. And let's go back to that real, we have a few seconds, but it is really important if you're the receiving, you're in there emotionally all the time, that practice of removing yourself and setting the boundary. I like to lie in my bed at night and kind of remember to remove that energy from me so I can just ground myself again.
Right, because otherwise you do get flooded with other people's stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Jill.
Yeah.
This has been Functional Health Radio.
Thanks, Jen.